The next LOS is to explain the four C's, capacity, collateral, covenants, and character, of traditional credit analysis. A common way to categorize the key components of credit analysis is by the four C's of credit analysis, capacity, collateral, covenants, and character. First, we will discuss capacity. Capacity refers to a corporate borrower's ability to repay its debt obligations on time. Analysis of capacity is similar to the process used in equity analysis. Capacity analysis entails three levels of assessment: industry structure, industry fundamentals, and company fundamentals. The first level of a credit analyst's assessment is industry structure. Industry structure can be described by Porter's five forces: threat of entry, power of suppliers, power of buyers, threat of substitution, and rivalry among existing competitors. The next level of a credit analyst's assessment is industry fundamentals, including the influence of macroeconomic factors on an industry's growth prospects and profitability. Industry fundamentals evaluation focuses on industry cyclicality, industry growth prospects, and published statistics for the industry. Cyclical industries are sensitive to economic performance. Cyclical industries tend to have more volatile earnings, revenues, and cash flows, which make them more risky than non-cyclical industries. Creditworthiness is most questionable for the weaker companies in a slow-growing or declining industry. Industry statistics provided by rating agencies, investment banks, industry periodicals, and government agencies can be a source for industry performance and fundamentals. The last level of credit analysts' assessment is company fundamentals. A corporate borrower should be assessed on competitive position, including market share changes over time and cost structure relative to peers, operating history, including the performance of the company over different phases of the business cycle and trends in margins and revenues, management's strategy and execution, which includes the soundness of the strategy, the ability to execute the strategy, and the effects of management's decisions on bondholders. Finally, as we will discuss later in this topic review, leverage and coverage ratios are important tools for credit analysis. Next, we will discuss collateral. Collateral analysis is more important for less creditworthy companies. The market value of a company's assets can be difficult to observe directly. Issues to consider when assessing collateral values include intangible assets. Patents are considered high-quality intangible assets because they can be more easily sold to generate cash flows than other intangibles. Goodwill is not considered a high-quality intangible asset and is usually written down when company performance is poor. Depreciation. High depreciation expense relative to capital expenditures may signal that management is not investing sufficiently in the company. The quality of the company's assets may be poor, which may lead to reduced operating cash flow and potentially high loss severity. Equity market capitalization. A stock that trades below book value may indicate that company assets are of low quality. Human and intellectual capital. These are difficult to value, but a company may own intellectual property that can function as collateral. Next, we will discuss covenants. Covenants are the terms and conditions the borrowers and lenders have agreed to as part of a bond issue. Covenants protect lenders while leaving some operating flexibility to the borrowers to run the company. There are two types of covenants: affirmative covenants and negative covenants. Affirmative covenants require the borrower to take certain actions, such as paying interest, principal, and taxes, carrying insurance on pledged assets, and maintaining certain financial ratios within prescribed limits. Negative covenants restrict the borrower from taking certain actions, such as incurring additional debt or directing cash flows to shareholders in the form of dividends and stock repurchases. covenants that are overly restrictive of an issuer's operating activities may reduce the issuer's ability to repay. On the other hand, covenants create a legally binding contractual framework for repayment of the debt obligation, which reduces uncertainty for the debt holders. A careful credit analysis should include an assessment of whether the covenants protect the interests of the bondholders without unduly constraining the borrower's operating activities. Finally, we will discuss character. Character refers to management's integrity and its commitment to repay the loan. Factors such as management's business qualifications and operating record are important for evaluating character. Character analysis includes an assessment of soundness of strategy, management's ability to develop a sound strategy, track record, management's past performance in executing its strategy and operating the company without bankruptcies, restructurings, or other distress situations that led to additional borrowing. Accounting policies and tax strategies. Use of accounting policies and tax strategies that may be hiding problems, such as revenue recognition issues, frequent restatements, and frequently changing auditors. Fraud and malfeasance record. Any record of fraud or other legal and regulatory problems. Prior treatment of bondholders. Benefits to equity holders at the expense of debt holders through actions such as debt-financed acquisitions and special dividends, especially if they led to credit rating downgrades. For the next LOS, we are required to calculate and interpret financial ratios used in credit analysis. Ratio analysis is part of capacity analysis. Two primary categories of ratios for credit analysis are leverage ratios and coverage ratios. Credit analysts calculate company ratios to assess the viability of a company, to find trends over time, and to compare companies to industry averages and peers. Profits and cash flows are needed to service debt. Here we examine four profit and cash flow metrics commonly used in ratio analysis by credit analysts. Earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, or EBITDA, is a commonly used measure that is calculated as operating income plus depreciation and amortization. A drawback to using this measure for credit analysis is that it does not adjust for capital expenditures and changes in working capital, which are necessary uses of funds for a going concern. Cash needed for these uses is not available to debt holders. Funds from operations, or FFO, are net income from continuing operations plus depreciation, amortization, deferred taxes, and non-cash items. FFO is similar to cash flow from operations, except that FFO excludes changes in working capital. Free cash flow before dividends is net income plus depreciation and amortization minus capital expenditures minus increase in working capital. Free cash flow before dividends excludes non-recurring items. Free cash flow after dividends is free cash flow before dividends minus the dividends. If free cash flow after dividends is greater than zero, it represents cash that could pay down debt or accumulate on the balance sheet. Either outcome is a form of deleveraging, a positive indicator for creditworthiness. Once we have chosen our profit or cash flow metrics, we can calculate leverage and coverage ratios. Analysts should adjust debt reported on the financial statements by including the firm's obligations, such as net pension liabilities, and off-balance sheet liabilities, such as operating leases. The most common measures of leverage used by credit analysts are the debt-to-capital ratio, the debt-to-EBITDA ratio, the FFO-to-debt ratio, and the free cash flow after dividends-to-debt ratio. Debt to capital. Capital is the sum of total debt and shareholders' equity. The debt to capital ratio is the percentage of the capital structure financed by debt. A lower ratio indicates less credit risk. If the financial statements list high values for intangible assets, such as goodwill, an analyst should calculate a second debt-to-capital ratio adjusted for a write-down of these assets' after-tax value. Debt-to-EBITDA. A higher ratio indicates higher leverage and higher credit risk. This ratio is more volatile for firms in cyclical industries or with high operating leverage because of their high variability of EBITDA. FFO to debt. Because this ratio divides a cash flow measure by the value of debt, a higher ratio indicates lower credit risk. FCF after dividends to debt. Greater values indicate a greater ability to service existing debt. Coverage ratios measure the borrower's ability to generate cash flows to meet interest payments. The two most commonly used are EBITDA to interest and EBIT to interest. EBITDA to interest expense. A higher ratio indicates lower credit risk. This ratio is used more often than the EBIT to interest expense ratio. Because depreciation and amortization are still included as part of the cash flow measure, this ratio will be higher than the EBIT version. EBIT to interest expense. A higher ratio indicates lower credit risk. This ratio is the more conservative measure because depreciation and amortization are subtracted from earnings. The next LOS is to evaluate the credit quality of a corporate bond issuer and a bond of that issuer, given key financial ratios of the issuer and the industry. Ratings agencies publish benchmark values for financial ratios that are associated with each ratings classification. For example, to assign a AA rating, a credit rating agency might look for a firm to have an operating margin of at least 16.5%, a debt-to-EBITDA ratio of no more than 1.8 times, an EBITDA-to-interest ratio of at least 20 times, a free cash flow-to-debt ratio of at least 24%, and a debt-to-capital ratio of no more than 30%. Credit analysts can evaluate the potential for upgrades and downgrades based on subject company ratios relative to these benchmarks.